Today's clinical providers and healthcare systems need a strategic partner that is focused on the evolution of healthcare delivery. At Surgery Partners, we are redefining the healthcare industry as the nation's leading independent operator of surgical facilities and ancillary services. With an extensive presence spanning over 180 locations nationwide, our commitment extends beyond healthcare. It's about fostering successful partnerships that enhance the quality of care in the communities we serve. Surgery Partners is more than an operator or service provider. We are your strategic ally committed to transforming healthcare delivery. Learn more at surgerypartners.com.
This is Alan Condon with the Becker's AFC podcast, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Jerry Eaves, who is the CEO and administrator of the Bone and Joint Institute of Tennessee Surgery Center. Jerry, pleasure to have you with us, your first time on the Becker's AFC podcast. For those who may not be familiar with you or your organization, I'd love just to first hand it over to you to hear a little bit more about yourself, and then, of course, the Bone and Joint Institute of Tennessee Surgery Center.
Absolutely, Alan. Thank you so much for having me. So a little bit about myself. As you said, I am a registered nurse. I'm also the administrator, or sometimes called the CEO, of the Bone and Joint Institute of Tennessee Surgery Center here in Franklin, Tennessee. We are a single specialty orthopedic spine surgery center with six ORs. We're a very large facility, which we're very proud of. And we've been open here for about 4 years. So our practice, our actual practice that feeds our surgery center, which is the Bone and Joint Institute of Tennessee, has been established in the community for about 30 years, if not plus 30 years. So very well, very big footprint in our community. I've worked in the healthcare profession for over 2 decades, and that includes emergency medicine, critical care, ambulatory surgery centers, and then also I've worked on the corporate management side, and I've done some consulting on my own as well. You know, during my career, I've had the privilege of managing individual surgery centers, multi-specialty surgery centers, multiple surgery centers from New York to California, and then also the challenge of building de novo surgery centers across the U.S. as well on the corporate side. So a little bit of a very well-rounded background.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic to hear about that clinical experience as well. So maybe we might touch on that a little bit later. But Jerry, let's dive right in. I think when you think about the ASC setting, the outpatient growth over the last couple of years, I mean, there's so much to talk about, so much trends. But if you could, is there two or three trends that you're particularly excited about that you're really focusing on today, and why?
Absolutely. So one of the trends that we see and that we have seen that really came out during COVID was the telemedicine expansion. That doesn't necessarily affect me and my center, but we've seen a lot of that, and I think it's going to continue to grow even today. So a lot of facilities have adopted this this practice, and I think it's going to be being a great thing for growth for some facilities. The other trend that we're going to see is value-based care. There's going to be a continued shift from fee-for-service models to value-based care in the healthcare to include the surgery centers. Value-based care focuses on improving patient outcomes while we control the cost. So ASCs are increasingly incentivized to deliver a high quality of care, of course, and leading the patient satisfaction and reduce healthcare spending. So that's something that we strive to do on a daily basis. The other trend that we're going to see is just the technological advancements. Every day we see something new out there. There's a new robot. There's a new, new GPS system. There's always something new, a new EMR. So we're seeing something every day in technology that's advancing. It's revolutionizing healthcare, how we deliver healthcare, and how we're improving patient outcomes. So, as we enhance, surgical precision, reducing recovery times, improving patient satisfaction, those are just going to grow and grow. So also to add to that, digital health solutions such as electronic health records, as I said, the EMRs, mobile health apps, all of this is just going to continue to help with streamlining workflows and improving communication between patients and providers, as well as ourselves.
Got it. Yeah, I think, great kind of breakdown of two of the trends you're closely monitoring at the moment. Obviously, you started off with telemedicine, dived into value-based care, and then, of course, the revolution in terms of tech advancements across the board, whether it be from a surgical aspect or a back office administrative functions, certainly a lot going on there as well. I'd be curious to pick your brains on, and value-based care particularly, is the second trend you've mentioned. I think specifically in regard to joint replacements, we saw bundle payments kind of seem like almost a race to the bottom, so to speak. When you say you're focusing on value-based care, what kind of platforms or what kind of value-based care do you think would be the most beneficial for an organization like yours?
So for us, and you mentioned total joints, so value-based care to me is when you look at a hospital system, they have so many, you know, ancillary services. They have so many other ways that their cost is driven up, and it's more than what ours is necessarily. We do so many things with so less resources. So with the total joints, whereas we bring our patients in, we see them, they may be at our facility 3 to 5 hours, whereas if they go over to the hospital, they may be there, 8 to 10 hours. Their recovery takes longer. And I'm not saying as a whole, everyone's that way, but you do see that the time spread is just longer in the hospital versus the surgery center. So when we're doing things, we're doing them, more efficiently, I feel like. And with that said, we're also doing it. A lot of our people in the surgery center wear multiple hats. We do multiple jobs. So we're saving cost on our side from the surgery center, and then also the cost is less for the patient. So that's where we see value-based going. And total joints is the same way. It's an expensive procedure to have. It's expensive implants. And so where that cost is sometimes something that we can't change, we can change the other, outside costs that we bring in. So by minimizing that, so.
Gotcha, for sure. And the other thing I thought was quite interesting, you said, obviously, robots is the big buzzword that seemed to be going around in orthopedics for the last couple of years. And we're starting to see more of these device companies bring more robots and more iterations of these robots to market, whether it be for spine, total joints. I guess first and foremost, have you got robots in your facility currently? And how do you see, do you think there will become a point where ASCs, hospitals will almost kind of need to have these robots in their facilities as a way of attracting the next generation of surgeons coming out of residencies and fellowship, and maybe even a potential marketing strategy for patients too?
Absolutely. We have a Mako robot here, and that is provided by Mako, and we work with Stryker very closely with that robot. And that is for our total joints. And yes, I do think that in the future, you're going to see more and more of a push for patients wanting to have more of a robotic experience because they feel like that is more efficient. It also helps the physician. We're seeing more things from a technological advancement, as we talked about. We're seeing things driven that way. And so they feel like it is a better care that's provided for them if it's done by a robot. So there's going to, you're always going to see the older generations and some other people who say it's not better. They want the physician doing the surgery. But for the most part, I feel like we're going to see a push from the surgeon side as they're learning more and more, higher advancements in technology. Our patients are also going to want that quality as well. And they're going to see that in a robot.
Yeah, certainly an interesting, as a bit of a gadget nerd myself, it's kind of interesting to pay attention to some of these trends in the robotic side of things. Jerry, look to move on. Like you said, when we think about growth for the next 12 months, obviously you've mentioned there that value-based care is something you're keeping a close eye on and really looking to bolster. A single specialty ASC, 6 ORs, I believe 14 orthopedic surgeons. But when you think about the next 12 months, particularly around growth, where are the key areas you're going to be focusing on?
So of course, one thing that we're going to work on is our volume. So we're going to want to grow our volume, bring in more physicians, bring in new procedures if possible. There's always new advancements that we're doing here at the center. So anything that's new and evolving in the orthopedic side or spine side, we're going to want to bring in advancements in, you know, minimally invasive techniques. We're always trying to improve anesthesia, and we have an amazing anesthesia group that we work with, and they do an amazing job. So faster recovery times, so just driving that side from a volume standpoint is going to be one of our goals for growth.
Fantastic. Certainly exciting time for your organization. Look forward to keeping on top of things here at Becker's. Jerry, before I let you go, I think just to touch on yourself and your leadership style, I think you're a very unique leader, like you mentioned in at the top of the conversation, because you have that extensive clinical background with various institutions as a critical care nurse, as you said, I believe a paramedic also, among other roles. How do you think your experience in that clinical environment as a nurse has helped you become a better leader in the outpatient environment?
It definitely helps drive your leadership style when you're a CEO or an administrator. I think it's when I started out as a nurse, and I actually, you know, many, many years ago, I started out as a paramedic. So working in the field, working my way up, learning the clinical side versus working into the financial side, it definitely changes your perspective on, you know, staffing ratios and how you're working on that side, how you take care of the patient. It's not always driven by the financial side. It is very important. You have to look at it from that side, but you're definitely divided. So it's something that makes me, I feel like it makes me a better leader, because I have worked on the side of the nurses and the clinical side. And I think that is very important that you take into your, that you have that in your perspective of looking at how you lead a team. To me, everything is a team aspect. It takes the whole team. I cannot run the center by myself. It takes the physicians, the staff, our management company, our hospital partner. It is a group effort. And it's something that I think I shouldn't say some people are short-sighted with, but it's not all about the financials all the time. You have to take everyone into account. And with the way, you know, we're dealing with staffing issues and, you know, different generations, it's a huge, difficult task that we work on every day. And I'm glad that I come from that perspective and that background, because I think it makes me a more empathetic leader. I think it helps me drive growth in our center. It gives me the ability to have empathy and also be able to see their side of it. So I hope that answers your question, but that's, I feel like that's what drives my leadership style.
Yeah. I think more than answering my question, I think a great nugget of leadership advice for any other ASC leaders out there. Jerry, a real pleasure getting to speak with you today and pick your brains a little bit about yourself and obviously the Bone and Joint Institute of Tennessee. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, and look forward to connecting with you again down the line.
Thank you, Alan. It was great to be on here, and I appreciate you having me.